Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. Certainly appreciate you, as always, taking a listen to us. You can find everything at the new website, which is BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. Track us down there. I want to remind you that coming up this Thursday night, we're going to be on the road yet again. It is the Bill Michaels Huddle out at Stenny's in Walker's Point, 2nd and National. We're going to find you there. Hopefully you're a face in the crowd. Yours truly, Mike Clemens, Paul Emick, all going to be on hand that night. The Bill Michaels garlic cheese bread is going to be flowing. So will the wings. So come on out 6 to 8 this Thursday night. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Longtime sponsor, been with us from the very beginning, who knew right away this was going to become a cult following, and it has been. Been good. So we're going to be there this Thursday night. Look for you down at Stenny's. Bring him in now, the third base coach of the Milwaukee Brewers, Ed Cedar, now joining us. Ed, how you doing, buddy?
Great, Bill. How are you doing today?
We're doing well, and you guys have kind of gotten on a little bit of a roll. First of all, talk about what it's like when you know you got to use 2, 3, 4 starting pitchers to be able to complete a game.
Oh, yeah. Even that, not only the starting pitching part of it, but when we go to the bullpen and have to use 8 and come away with a W, it just counts mixing and matching and doing what we need to do to win.
So right now, give me your thoughts as far as this team, because you guys have, while you haven't put up as much many runs as you have, say, in the past, the pitching has been stellar. Has there been a relaxed feeling about going to the plate for the fact that the pitching has been so good? Or do you got a lot of young guys right now with arms going out there going, you know what, I can't give up more than a couple of runs because right now we're struggling a little bit at the plate?
There might be a little bit of both. The pitching has been outstanding almost the entire season, really, and then for sure as of late. And then now we're starting to get some timely hitting, where in the past that's been something that's been missing, you know, but the timely hitting, you know, produces, you know, a couple big scoring innings that we've had, and starting to feel a little bit better about ourselves, our offense, you know, showing signs of coming out of it, our big guys, James, Brawny, and Travis starting to contribute along with the other guys that have been contributing, but things are going okay right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, last night you got about as complete a game offensively, defensively, as you could possibly get. I mean, pitching was fantastic. When you get a game like that where everybody does their job, everybody does what they're supposed to do, that it's got to be an incredibly gratifying win last night, right?
Oh, yeah. And like you said, hit on everything. The pitching was outstanding, had some timely hitting. Base running, got a couple stolen bases to get people in scoring position, and then some key outs defensively, you know, hitting the cutoff man or one hopping at the second to get the Polanco to end the game. So it's kind of nice when everything goes according to plan out there.
When Phillips plays defense like that, I mean, that's – It's hard to kind of quantify what it means when you've got a guy that's got that kind of arm that can throw runners out from almost anywhere. But that is an energizing feeling when he makes a play like that, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's an energizing feeling. And then the relay down on the ball hitting down into the right field corner, Perez, the Sogard, to Travis, the nail, Ozuna. That, you know, anytime something like that happens, and we've had pretty good ones. Whenever we get the ball to RC on cutoffs and relays, there's always a chance of getting whoever we're heading for. So it's a good feeling, and it's even better when it works out. Like you said, very, very, very energizing.
Jonathan Villar struggled, obviously, pretty much all season long. And in the month, the last couple of months, has really, really come on to, offensively. What changed for him?
I think just maybe just relaxing, or just sitting out a little while, working on a swing with Darnell Coles and Jason Lane, and just say, all right, now I'm going to have to contribute in a different way. And coming off the bench the last two times, you know, has had doubles, maybe, you know, battled at the plate, was able to get doubles out of it, got in the scoring position. And, yeah, it's kind of nice to have him come off the bench, because, you know, he was one of the better offensive players in the league last year when you talk about all-around offense, you know, power, hitting, stealing bases. So it's kind of nice to have that little gem on the bench where you could use early or you can use late. So, yeah, looking for even better things in the last 12 from VR.
It seems like that game that he went 2-for-4 against Minnesota, something clicked. I don't know what it was. I don't, because he had struggled early on in August. And struggled in Minnesota, was 0-for in Minnesota, and comes home, gets a couple of base knocks, and has been smacking the cover off the ball almost ever since. I mean, I don't know what specifically his batting average is since that date, but it's got to be about .350. I mean, the guy's just been hitting the hell out of the baseball. That's why I said, what changed? Because we've seen guys before, Ed, where they start to hit the ball, and they go from hitting .244 to maybe .270, but they don't go from hitting .217 to all of a sudden hitting .360. I mean, that's just what he's doing right now is phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah, very phenomenal. And I got to believe a lot of it's confidence, you know, getting up there, getting a couple hits. Your confidence gets back. Like you said, he was kind of like, you know, dominating if you put all the offensive ingredients in their player last year, and really struggled at the beginning of this year. And all of a sudden starting to put it together. And, you know, they always say it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So hopefully that'll keep it going, and he'll be a little plus force coming down these last 12 games.
What's been one of the biggest, you know, things, if you will, or maybe one of the key moments, or a player or somebody that said something or whatever, what's been key for this team down the stretch?
I think just all being together. It's kind of I don't think I've been around a team that, you know, in the dugout, we do our little chants, you know, before the game, in the locker room, before the games and after the games. It's almost a all-togetherness type thing. And that's one thing when Counts took over, he really emphasized staying connected, helping each other out, going up. And even when bad things happen, you know, before maybe no one would say anything, but they might just come up and go, hey, you're all right. You just knew not to do this and whatever. You know, people coming up and just trying to pick each other up when things aren't going well. And that's one thing this team has done. And being able not to, after like devastating losses, you know, come up and just be so down the next day. I haven't seen a team that's been act like nothing's happened the next day and goes out and goes about business.
You talked about Sogard there. You mentioned his name for a minute, and I wanted to get back to him because he started off so hot this season and goes down with injury, and he was one of the guys that was setting the table because really all the damage was being done by him. And then obviously with Braun, Travis Shaw, Eric Thames, they were scoring all the, they were driving all the runs. So Sogard has started to hit the ball again, which is a terrific sign. I think he's got 4 or 5 hits in his last 5 games. Is this something where he's finally starting to really recuperate and feel better after that injury?
Oh, yeah, I think so, you know, and, you know, because like you said, he was like on fire for us. Timing was all clicking, hitting for power, working the counts and everything. And then the injury happened, and, you know, he just went out, I think, for just a couple games, so the timing really wasn't there, and then maybe pushed himself a little bit. But now it looks like we got the Sogard that we knew at the beginning when we brought him up.
How hard is it not right now not to look ahead to what's waiting for you this weekend?
Yeah, kind of not hard, but with this team, I don't think they're – we knew the only thing we can do is take care of the games that we're playing, you know, that day, and go out and win, and hopefully things will take care of themselves. And then when we do have matchups against the teams that are in front of us, go and take care of business there as well.
And you know it's going to be a crazy atmosphere at Miller Park, and you certainly hope the Brewers fans are buying up tickets, but you know Cubs fans have already kind of circled this on their calendar at the beginning of the season and started buying these things up. So it's, again, going to be a predominantly Cubs crowd, but, man, it's going to be rocking at Miller Park this weekend.
Oh, yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll take care of business here in Pittsburgh, and then we'll see what we got for the Cubs coming this weekend.
All right, buddy, you take care. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
All right, sounds good. You guys have a great day.
Appreciate it. There you go. Ed Cedar, Brewers third base coach, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. And this portion of the program brought to you by Cousin Subs, where they believe in better switching over from Brewers to Packers. We're going to talk some more Packers coming up here shortly. But if you want to get to the 50-yard line of Lambeau Field, Cousin Subs has your tickets. As a matter of fact, the best seats in the house tickets. All you have to do is go to packers.com/best seats. That's packers.com/best seats. And fill out the registration form, learn all the rules, the regulations, everything that goes along with it. And you could be sitting on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Compliments of Cousin Subs. And I highly recommend prior to, when you're going to do some tailgating, if you don't want to get into the whole, you know, grilling out and all that kind of stuff, stop up at Cousin Subs. Get yourself some of the party packs that go along with it and enjoy yourself. Just enjoy yourself. That is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. And by the way, the pepperoni melt known as the Bill Michaels, I would recommend highly. That can be life-changing. Seriously, life-changing. When we come back, I want to talk more about what we were discussing before the top of the hour, and that was the Green Bay Packers. And I want to go back to some of the comments that were made by Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1 about the Green Bay Packers and specifically about Ted Thompson and the, as he puts it, Ted's unwillingness to put a good quality team around Aaron Rodgers. And I want to see if you agree or disagree with some of the things that he had to say. We'll take a listen to him again, and then I want your reaction. Also, at the bottom of the hour, Jim Polzina of the Wisconsin State Journal, he is going to join us. We're going to talk some Badger football. We have to. Jim Ozarski, our buddy Jim, is back. He's from the Cincinnati Enquirer now, and he's the beat reporter for the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to talk with him coming up at the top of the next hour and break down Cincinnati's team coming into Lambeau Field this weekend. Stick around. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Michael's show on the air. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. This portion of the program, by the way, being brought to you by our good friends at Marshfield Clinic. Don't just live, enjoy your life to the fullest, right? That's what you want to do. And at Marshfield Clinic Health System, they're the official health care provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And I got my knee fixed up by Dr. Jacchini a while ago. Terrific experience. I'm biking. I'm feeling terrific. Cardiovascular is good. I've dropped weight. I mean, I can go on and on about it. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com to see what they have to offer when it comes to my experience. Or if you want more testimonials, simply go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and type in Marshfield Clinic, and you'll see a lot of those right then and there. But they also have fantastic convenience and quick resolutions to common health conditions. All you have to do is call 844-CARE-WAY. That's 7 days a week, 844-CARE-WAY, 7 days a week between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. And the charge is never more than $40, depending on your insurance. So if you need a prescription, maybe they can get you something right over the phone. Go to marshfieldclinic.org to find out about everything that is the Marshfield Clinic Health System. And they are the official health care provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Nick Wright on Fox Sports 1 had this to say about Aaron Rodgers not getting the best opportunity to win.
The fact that we know, we can name off the top of our head, who are the Packer free agent acquisitions of note in the last 10 years? It's like, oh, they got Julius Peppers
That's one time.
They brought in Martellus Bennett this year. Their second biggest free agent acquisition this offseason was Devon House, who used to be on your team till you let him go. You weren't, they weren't that close last year. They got mollywopped in the NFC Championship game, and they just decided to run it back when they knew Dallas should be better. They knew Atlanta was bringing everyone back. They knew Carolina was going to bounce back. That, as a football fan, it's frustrating because I like to see Aaron Rodgers have the best chance to win, and I don't think that's what we're getting.
Do you think that Ted Thompson has given Aaron Rodgers the best chance to win? It's as simple as that. And when he talks about, they didn't even mention, when he talks about free agent signings, you know, their biggest signing is Julius Peppers. Well, Martellus Bennett, obviously. They haven't gone out and spent a ton of money because, again, they believe in signing their own. And I went through the contracts a little while ago. You have to understand monetarily where they're at. They've paid quite a bit to keep some of their own. They'd rather pay to keep their own than pay a lot to bring in others, somebody else's free agent. That's just the way they do business. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. That's on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. By the way, I had mentioned a little while ago the Packers have seven players that are making double digits. And somebody had emailed me and said, well, the Patriots go out and spend money all the time. Why aren't the Packers like the Patriots? I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about. The Patriots this year, they're paying Tom Brady $14 million. He is the Patriots' highest paid player at $14 million. Nate Solder, the offensive lineman, who, by the way, is an unrestricted free agent after this season, is making $11.1 million. The next highest guy is Devin McCourty, who is being paid $10.9 million, almost $11 million. That's it. Every other contract is in single digits when it comes to millions, and there's not many contracts over $5 million that they have. Just so you know, they've got Rob Gronkowski at $6 million. Now, he'll make $11 million next year. But they don't have many contracts that are going to be kind of tying their hands. Dont'a Hightower is going to make $9 million next year. He's making $5 million this year. He doesn't make double digits till 2019. Devin McCourty obviously will make $11 million next year and $13 million the year after that, but most likely won't see that $13 million. So for those of you that say, well, that's what they do, and no, they don't. They don't go out, the Patriots don't go out and spend big money. That's, no, they do not. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Jeff, listening to us in Menominee. Jeff, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Bill, good show today.
Thank you.
Hey, I was just calling. You know, some of these guys go off on these tangents, and I don't think it's really being fair, because if you look at all the Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the league in the Brett Favre, you know, Aaron Rodgers era, how many rings does Peyton, how many rings does Drew Brees have? How many rings does Philip Rivers have? I mean, having a Hall of Fame elite quarterback, I mean, you take Tom Brady out of that conversation and what they've done in New England, which is, you know, completely contrary to what he just said, because, as you were saying, if somebody says, I want more money, they trade him to the Browns,
right,
you know, for a couple draft picks. So, I mean, everything that he says is not true if you just take Tom Brady and the New England Patriots out of the equation.
First of all, I completely agree and appreciate the phone call. When you look, and this was also something that was said about quarterbacking, and, well, you know, Eric Dickerson said, well, you take Aaron Rodgers off that team, they're the worst team in the NFL. Take Drew Brees off of the New Orleans Saints. You know, I mean, take Matt Ryan off of Atlanta. Take Ben Roethlisberger out of Pittsburgh. Tom Brady, I mean, the New England Patriots have a culture, have a system. And Tom Brady hates it when you say it's a great system, but they've produced some people that have, you know, that have, you know, been able to accomplish things. But beyond that, who's been the standout without their starter? You know, take Dak Prescott off of Dallas. Take Cam Newton out of Carolina. You know what happened to Derek Carr last year when he went down? What happened to the Oakland Raiders? You know what I mean? It's not as simple as just simply saying, well, it's just Aaron Rodgers. It's a quarterback-driven league, absolutely. And if you have an elite one, you should have some success. But it gets rather frustrating to just expect it, I think, is probably the biggest issue that I have with people. Kevin in Sheboygan, you're next up. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, Bill. Good show.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, my complaint, I mean, I'm a real fan of the GM, but if you take a look at what Wolf did in building the team, you know, he brought in Sean Jones, and he brought in other team players across the time, and as he built the team over the years. And I think that's what everybody's – the big crux is, you know, over the last 7 years, who's he brought in? not one real good player throughout that time. And I think that's what people are saying. Hey, just do one a year,
mm-hmm.
and you've built your team.
Right.
And that's why I think it leaves Aaron hanging.
I appreciate the phone call. When you look at some of the drafts that were Ron Wolf's, what year did Ron Wolf get here, Joe? Do you remember off the top of your head? Was it 90? 91? I mean, you know, you go back to 90, probably you had Tony Bennett in the 90 draft. Leroy Butler came out of that draft, as a matter of fact. Bryce Pop came out of that draft.
91.
Okay, so you look at the draft after that, Ezra Tuolo, Walter Dean, Reggie Burnett, Vinny Clark. The next year was Terrell Buckley's year in 92. Edgar Bennett, Robert Brooks. Robert Brooks was solid until you had the back injury. There's Chimura, Ty Detmer, Brett Collins. But when you look at, because people say, well, Ron Wolf was a free agent guy, but Ron Wolf didn't have huge drafts. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was out there drafting all pros all the time. He had a good year when he got 94 and got to Aaron Taylor. But after that was Dorsey Levens that year. Billy Schrader that year.
Yeah, he got good wide receivers. He got good running backs.
He got Antonio Freeman, Craig Newsome.
Yeah.
The next year in 95, William Henderson, the fullback.
Yeah.
Travis Jervey, Adam Timmerman. You know, 95 was a pretty good draft year. They picked up Mike Flanagan in 96. Marco Rivera was in 96 as well, so they fortified that offensive line.
He's hitting.
Yeah. So he got a few. I mean, you know, Ross Verba, Darren Sharper. That was really it out of that 97 draft. So that 97 draft set him back a little bit. Vonnie Holiday. Picked up Vonnie Holiday, Corey Bradford, Matt Hasselbeck, a backup, but it wasn't, you know, huge in 98. And then 99, you had Antoine Edwards and Freddie Vinson. Mike McKenzie was pretty good. Cletus Hunt was good until he got the contract. Then he turned into a giant turd. But that was the Craig Heimberger years and Chris Atkins. I mean, the guy that really made that draft was Donald Driver. He was the 213th draft choice that year. So, I mean, Ron was pretty good, but Ron also had to fortify the team with free agents. His drafts weren't great. Now, Ted hasn't necessarily been all draft and develop in the sense of producing all pro bowlers all the time.
Well, and that's the issue. I mean, you got to be able to find a pro bowler each year.
Once a year.
You have to.
You have to. Yeah, I agree.
You have to be able to do that. And some of the guys that you selected, you're going to have to hit on them in the first couple of seasons. They're going to have to come on the cheap.
One of the best years Ron Wolf had was 2000. He had Bubba Franks, Chad Clifton. He had Kabir Bajabiamila. He had Mark Tauscher. Was in that draft. You know, I mean, and Clifton and Tauscher both were just solid bookends for so many years. KGB had a huge career as far as sacks go. One year, I'll never forget, he was leading the league in sacks. You know, Bubba Franks was solid. He did nothing but catch touchdown passes. Then after that, you had the Jamal Reynolds, Robert Ferguson, Bao Jew.
That was Ron Wolf? That wasn't Sherman?
Well, that was Mike Sherman, but Ron Wolf was your consult there. But then you had, you know, after that, it was, you know, then Ted Thompson comes in. And, you know, some years have been good, but years you miss, man, you miss one or two years in a row, you set your team back dramatically.
Well, look, again, I think Ted Thompson this offseason has done almost everything he could possibly do
correctly
to say that he's going all in.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe selecting a higher-priced free agent corner rather than Devon House, I really cannot sit here and say that. What more can the man do? And I've been ripping on Ted for a long time. People know how I feel about Ted Thompson and going for it and going all in every single year. But I didn't hear any Packer fans complaining going into week one that, boy, I'm still not impressed by what Ted Thompson has done. I mean, for crying out loud, Ahmad Brooks, Quentin Dial, guys signing veterans that you would never have seen Ted do in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's doing it. And we're 1-1 after really two tough teams, two tough opponents. I would love to see Atlanta come to Lambeau Field at some point. I'd love to see how the Falcons would fare against the Packers there. But the bottom line is this. Go in, play the Bengals, kick their butts like you should. Go in at home against the Chicago Bears, kick their butts too, and let's talk again in a couple of weeks. Because, you know, despite the fact that we've seen injuries, despite the fact that we've seen some underachieving performances, especially from this Packers offense, I think things will get better. I'm not really sitting here and freaking out and getting angry again at Ted Thompson and how he's built this team. He's, I think, for the most part, and whether you think it's Ted doing it or you think it's someone else in that front office calling the shots, I think we just need to sit tight here. It's week two, for crying out loud.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. We'll continue with this. Jim Polzin of the Wisconsin State Journal. Got to talk some Badger football. Badgers right now on a bye. Then they begin their Big Ten Conference matchups with Northwestern. It'll be first out of the chute. Stick around. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
This is the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
For our offense, it was, you found out a little bit more because of the style, and defensively, same can be said. And I think, you know, Chris Herring and the special teams thought coming in, there's going to be some areas that, all right, that should be all right, but we got to find out and see what happens.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're glad to have you. Those are the words of Paul Christ after the BYU game, and Christ happy with his crew. An incredible performance out of Alex Honeybrook. I mean, just in general, I mean, Badgers did exactly what they needed to do in that ballgame. And that is to say, look, first couple of games of the year, we're kind of figuring a few things out here. And then after that, we're going to get rolling. Now you got a bye week. Now you get ready for the Big Ten Conference. Northwestern going to be the first team to come calling. Jim Polzin of the Wisconsin State Journal joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And, Jim, let me start out by just saying some people had said maybe Hornibrook was listening to this program when Pete Futek and a couple other writers had come on the air and said, well, Hornibrook's accurate, but he's kind of got a noodle for an arm. Man, he looked like he was throwing some darts in that game at BYU.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised afterwards to hear him admit that he had kind of read and heard some of that stuff and clearly went out there with a point to prove and did just that. I thought he was really good from start to finish. And I do think he also got some help. I mean, I thought his receivers caught the ball, which a week earlier wasn't the case. There had been some key drops, and I think anybody knows how that wears on a quarterback. But everybody was in full sync on Saturday out in Provo.
So this team played extremely well, obviously. Everything seemed to be firing on all cylinders. What did they do differently from the first couple of games of the season?
I just think they cleaned up. There wasn't a lot of, you know, like drops I'd mentioned before were an issue. Penalties were an issue in the first game. They just finished drives. You know, they had several third and medium to third and longs on Saturday, and they converted those, which is huge. I mean, the drive keeps going, and it wears down the defense. And so offensively, I thought they were just cleaner. Defensively, too, the one thing they were a little upset about the week before was they didn't get any turnovers. Well, first series, T.J. Edwards picks off a pass against BYU, and they got, you know, another one later on. So I just think they did pretty much everything. They always talk about the little things in this program, and sometimes little things can add up and bring down a team's performance. And I really thought they did just about everything they needed to do on Saturday.
Going back to the quarterback play, you had mentioned that he also had some help. And I agree. I mean, I think for a quarterback to have a big game, you have to look at it and say, okay, you know, what did the quarterback do? Did he put his guys in position to make plays? Yes. But in reality, when you look at this, I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to do, and guys just flat out went and got balls. And really, I mean, like you said, just really helped him out.
Yeah, he put the ball in the money. I mean, I guess I was referring to the week before was that there were some passes that were off slightly, right? I think there's one I can think of against Florida Atlantic was over the middle. It was behind Fumagalli. You know, it's a bad pass, clearly. I'm not saying it wasn't, but Fumagalli can erase that mistake by catching that pass, and that didn't happen the week before. This week, you know, the 50-50 ball to Danny Davis downfield, he goes up and gets it. It's a 50-yard pass. And so I just think that adds up. I think, you know, starting out 4-4, maybe he might have completed his first six. They built confidence that the offensive line gave him plenty of time. I mean, he had all day back there a lot of times. So I just think, you know, all that stuff added up led to a performance that we have not seen from Alex Hornibrook. I mean, he's been good at times, but has not been as exceptional as he was on Saturday.
The guy that continues to impress is Jonathan Taylor, and the fact that he was just – he was almost just juking defenders out of their shoes. Have they really discovered something here? I mean, are we talking about Jonathan Taylor with an 1,100 to 1,500 type of yard season here and being looked at as a possible Heisman candidate next year? I mean, granted, it's early in the season, real early, but 128 yards and scored once and 18 carries, that's a hell of a day right there, even if it is BYU.
Yeah, he's been better, I think, than they expected. I thought they were very excited when they got him to commit and thought he could be a good player in time. I'm not sure they thought he'd be this good this early, though. And he's the type of running back that turns like 4 or 5 yard runs into 8 or 9, and then 10 yard runs into 15 or 20. I mean, he seems to get.
He waits for the final word.
Also, I wanted to ask you, sorry about that. I wanted to ask you, this was supposed to be the real first big test of the season for the Badgers. In essence, it really wasn't. Did the Badgers play that well, or was BYU, and I don't want to take anything away from the Badgers, but this is not your traditional BYU type of team that we have seen in the past that have been extremely formidable. So is this a team that was just looking to get beat up on? I mean, granted, BYU has had a hell of a stretch playing number 12 LSU and now number 10 Wisconsin. But is this BYU team, was this a really good beatdown of 40-6, or was this a bad BYU team?
Well, it was impressive to me only because it was on the road, right? I mean, it's the first chance away from home. They had clearly struggled the first 2 weeks against inferior opponents. And so I think to go and do it on the road against, like you said, I mean, you listed all the reasons why you can kind of take this game with a grain of salt. This BYU team has been, especially on offense, has been just not good this season. And they're in the midst of a really opening grind that just, I think, has continued to wear on them. So anytime a team's lost two straight coming in, you just need to kind of get them down early. And I think, I don't want to say they quit, but I think there was, certainly some low morale once Wisconsin kind of put its foot on BYU's neck. So I wouldn't take it, I wouldn't go bragging about it from an opponent standpoint, but I think the combination of going on the road and playing a perfect game. I mean, you can say, yeah, it wasn't a great BYU team, but they did beat them by 34 points, and they did it on the road. And certainly, now heading into the bye week and the start of Big Ten play, I think it's got to give Wisconsin a pretty big bounce that step.
Talking with Jim Polzina of the Wisconsin State Journal, they have the bye week. Then Northwestern comes into Camp Randall on September 30th for the Big Ten opener. And now we started going through this schedule. You start looking through the Big Ten. Is this an expectation where Wisconsin, when you really look at this schedule, it really favors them at the most you could possibly predict maybe one loss? Should we be realistic in that expectation? Or is this a team where people should say, you know what, they shouldn't lose a game all season?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at them individually, each game individually, they're going to be favored. And with, I guess, maybe exception of that Michigan game will be a close in terms of point spread. But, yeah, I mean, I always caution to not look too far ahead because you never know about the injury situation. And I still think this team is at a couple key positions are, a little bit thin, quarterback being one of them. If Hornibrook goes down, you're suddenly handing the ball to a true freshman that hasn't played significant snaps. So I think you have to use caution there. The offensive line's a little beat up and a couple more big injuries there would be hurtful. Defensively, they have already lost their best playmaker in Jack Citchie, and you lose a guy or two there, you're in rough shape. So I just think it's, don't look too far ahead. I think there's a lot of football to be played, and there's going to be, they've got a target on their back just from how well they've done in this division for so many years. And so they're going to get, I think there's going to be some games that are closer than you probably expect. So I just think, let's not look too far ahead because it's a long, long season.
They gave up 10 early on. They gave up 14 to Florida Atlantic, 6 this past week. Do you think defensively they've kind of figured everything out, and do you like what Leonard's doing, or do you think that there's going to be some big-time tests down the road and you're still not really sure what to expect defensively?
Yeah, the thing about this defense that's been interesting is that they have had struggles early in games, and yet they seem to make adjustments and then go into shutdown mode, which has been impressive. I mean, I think they've looked to be a little bit of a defense that needs to kind of see what the other team's doing, and And really all three games, the other teams kind of run up-tempo, and that's thrown Wisconsin for a little bit of a loop. But to its credit, it's adjusted and been really, really sound. I mean, they haven't allowed a point in the second half yet. I do think there's some tests coming up. I think Northwestern's a team that can score. I think there's going to be some teams down the road that will test them. But I do like what Jim Leonard's doing, especially, like I said, losing Cichy, I think, was bigger than people expected. It's just it's a huge playmaker. It's an emotional leader. And I still think they're trying to figure out a little bit how to play without him. But so far, so good. I think I like the job Leonard's doing.
Jim, good stuff. As always, we'll touch base again throughout the season, okay?
Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Jim Polzin of the Wisconsin State Journal joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program being brought to you by Neumel Medical and the medical center there. It's worth a phone call. I've been saying that for a long time. Just call them. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. And whether it's the ED treatments, which they are 98% successful with, that's the erectile dysfunction treatments, or the low T, if you're looking for more energy, better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina, they can help you out there. Then there's the all-in-one weight loss program, which I've been saying all along, all you have to do is follow it, and I tell you, it works. It just does. It's worth a phone call if you want to jumpstart your health and fitness. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Give us a shout. That is the Neumel Medical Center. And when we come back, got a few things, a little tidbit for you before we get into the top of the next hour. Don't forget Jim Ozarski, Bengals beat writer for the Cincinnati Enquirer, our buddy who used to work here in Milwaukee. He is now down in Cincinnati, has been for the last few years, covering the Bengals. We're going to break down Cincinnati coming to Lambeau Field just after the top of the hour. Stick around. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Show is on the air. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. We were sitting here talking with Ed Cedar a little while ago, and I had to figure it out for myself about statistics and all that kind of stuff. By the way, our stat of the day brought to you by AppRoyo. AppRoyo, APPROYO, they make it simple for companies just like yours to implement SAP and big data solutions. Revolutionize your data and ignite your future, my friends, with AppRoyo, APPROYO, on the web, AppRoyo.com. I had mentioned Jonathan VR, and Jonathan VR, we can all agree, has not had the best of seasons. Okay, I think we can look at that and say you are 100% correct. Okay, no doubt about it. He's been struggling. Then I went back and I thought, okay, let me just see here. Because VR started to hit the ball. And I had a few people say, no, he hasn't been really that good. And you know what? Going back to the 9th of August, on the season, he was hitting .213. On the 9th of August. Okay? Since then, he has brought his average up to .244. And I thought to myself, okay, let's take a look at this. Let's analyze a couple of the numbers here. So I started looking around. I'm thinking, okay, power numbers were up and everything. Since August 10th, he is batting .406. He's batting .406. Let that sink in. And I think that's in 17 to 19 games. He's 26 of 64, hitting .406 since August 10th. So VR, I don't know what it is, but he's figured something out. But Jonathan Villar, right now, one of the hottest hitters you have on your squad. So I throw it out there. Because I was talking to Ed Cedar, and I thought, wait a minute, you know, am I right in this? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. On the loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. But I thought to myself, you know, VR has actually been stroking the ball pretty well. And he's been doing it coming off the bench as well. Just another highlight of what's been going on for a season that's been turned around. Now, granted, he hasn't had the same numbers that he had last year. But as of late, he's back to being the Jonathan VR we saw last year. So I'd throw it out there. Coming up the next hour, we are going to talk with Jim Ozarski, Cincinnati Bengals beat writer for the Cincinnati Enquirer. He is going to join us. And we're going to talk with him about this team because Andy Dalton has looked just bad. Their offensive line is bad. One of the best players on their team. Two of their top players, A.J. Green, and the other one is a rookie, and that's Mixon, who came with a lot of baggage. They have been a team that has been willing to take on baggage. They've got some guys that have been suspended, obviously. So we're going to talk about the Packers' next opponent. And then after that, if you didn't get a chance to hear it last night, you were going to hear some of the highlights from none other than the gentleman we had at the Horse and Plow Huddle last night at Kohler, the American Club in Kohler, Jeff Janis.
Janis!
You're going to hear from Jeff Janis.
Janis!
Coming up the next hour as well. Stick around.
Jeff Janis.
No, he's everywhere. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Jeff Janis!
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.